Welcome along. Dry your eyes, Lewandowski. How many goals have you scored anyway? Really? That's quite a lot, actually, isn't it? Yes, welcome to La Liga Weekly. We're recording late Monday night because Terry insisted we wait for the Ballon d'Or result. He just loves those individual awards. It's what football is all about. So Messi has won his seventh crown. Claim it, Barca fans. It might be a while. It's actually a Barca double. Well done to Alexia Putellas for winning the women's trophy. Barca won the top two, three of the top five, and five of the top 20. And the blokes won a match at the weekend, which is partly down to the goalkeeper punting the ball down to the number nine. I always knew that Xavi was a secret John Beck disciple. The reference there for our youthful international audience. Definitely not up for the Puskás Award for the best goal was Athletic Club's equaliser on Friday night against Granada. A hideous thing that should be deleted from all digital records. All of a sudden, Real Madrid are 4 points clear after Vinny Jr.'s missile launch against Sevilla. They could be seven clear by Wednesday night. Luckily for Atleti, they realise that if you want to score some goals, you might want to launch some attacks. Real Sociedad lost at last. Alguacil out. Levante's grimly fascinating run continues, and Cadiz join them in the bottom three. Terry is back, malnourished from a weekend at La Liga TV. If you're listening, guys, just a bit of hospitality wouldn't go amiss. You get vegan options at Sky. Do you want to talk about the Ballon d'Or, Terry? Should we do a quick? The Bundesliga fans are outraged that Lewandowski didn't win it. I don't want to slag off. Lewandowski's one of the all-time greats, isn't he?
Exactly.
I don't want to be against him. But then Messi did score. He scored 28 goals between January and May for Barca. They won the Copa America Argentina. He's Messi. You know, I'm not angry. I wouldn't have been angry either way.
Exactly. And everybody knows how I feel about the Ballon d'Or. It's not an obvious one for a lot of people that don't follow Messi and Barcelona and now PSG and Argentina and the Copa America. It's not an obvious one. The obvious one is more of the Champions League where Lewandowski is superb and the Bundesliga where he's superb. International football does play a part in the selection policy as well in terms of who people vote for. Hence the reason Jorginho was up, you know, in...
I've got to say, I do object to Jorginho being the third best player in the world, by the way.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's the point I was going to make.
Yeah.
It was. I think we accepted it when Modric won it because he was fantastic and he was playing brilliant for club and country. But I think that you know, it is what it is. I still feel it's, if you're looking at the best player in the world, and I think he has been again this year, whether it's based on that, whether it's based on trophies, whether it's based on popularity or not, a campaign or two by some players, I don't know. But it's a lot of people are interested in it. So, you know, I understand the criticism if you have a particular favourite player. I just had the ump because Harry Kane was 23rd.
Too high, you mean? Too high?
No. But it is what it is.
All those goals he scored against San Marino and all the ones that he didn't get in the Conference League.
Got 21 goals last week for England in the last couple of games. Still didn't get him in the reckoning. But no, congratulations to Messi. He's... I don't think anyone's overtaken him yet as the best player in the world still.
Yeah.
That's my worthwhile opinion.
Yeah, but likewise, I agree. And likewise, it would be a shame if Lewandowski retires not having won a Ballon d'Or. I don't know why they didn't have one last year. I know why they didn't, because it was COVID, but you could have still had the vote, couldn't you? I mean, you don't.
Yes.
They don't turn up and put their paper in a ballot box, do they? These people.
No.
You know, we were still talking to each other, weren't we? You can still have the ballot, don't you? Anyway, there we go. Right.
Down. I think there's this thing called the internet as well now, isn't there? That you could vote on.
Yes, precisely. Yeah.
Rather than posting a ballot, the old-fashioned way.
Well, I never understand why. The Player of the Year awards are always voted for like a couple of weeks before the end of the season, aren't they? I get it when you had to post it in, but you literally do it on your phone and press a button now, and that's you done, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, the PFA one in particular is done really early, isn't it?
Yeah.
the votes are collected in, and I don't know how they're doing it, but it used to be a paper format when I was asked to vote. Hopefully that's changed.
Well, the football writers one, you just send an email to the guy who compiles them. I mean, there are only a couple of hundred members, a few hundred members. So they know that each email address is only registered once. You email your thing in, but it's like done weeks before the end of the season. And I think, why don't we just wait to the end of the season? And then you've got a couple of days to, Salah or wherever you want to go. And
Whoever's won the league, cups, whatever. Yep, I agree with that.
Yeah, anyway.
I've got anything to get off my chest this week, which is a concern.
Let's get down to business. We'll start. I want to start with Athletic versus Granada. It started the weekend. It was a wonderfully chaotic end to the game, wasn't it? Inigo Martinez sent off. It was fun. You've been saying you need Athletic to be a bit more fun, and it was. But that goal, Terry, that's just what it's just like. Try and describe. It's just a calamity.
I can describe it. The last five touches of the ball were by Granada players. It was five touches, five consecutive touches by Granada players, led to them. It was a clearance back towards the goalkeeper who pushed it onto the post, wasn't it? And then it hit defender twice, and then it was bundled in by a defender as well. It was incredible.
One tries to clear it, but the other guy is sliding already, isn't he? Committed to this, and he drags it back into the goal area, and then the keeper comes sliding in, and he then puts it in, doesn't he?
It was five consecutive touches by Granada players that led to that goal.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yes. And Wanyama's still claiming it. I would have done that. He was near enough. It was a good game. And Granada looks promising when they were 1-0 down, of course, early on from Raul Garcia. Though Machis got into it. It was a lively game for Meunier. He made the goal for Raul Garcia. He was at fault for the goal for, I think it was Darwin Machis. He lost possession in his own half. It was in the attacking half. I think they took a short corner and he got caught in possession, led to the counter-attack. Machis scored. Molina was fortunate to get on the end of the goal. It clearly looked offside, but it was obviously played back by a defender. So two unfortunate goals there for both teams. Molina slotted that away, but then the debacle. I think it goes down as a Maximiano goalkeeper own goal.
To
equalise. But they deserved a draw, Athletic, in that game. And Marcelino said he was really pleased. Inigo Martinez gets sent off in the 97th minute. It was a bad pass, wasn't it, by Simon that dropped him in it. He had to lunge in and make a challenge. And probably
it was a red, wasn't it? Yeah. The Granada players complained, didn't they? Quite rightly in this case, because you're thinking, well, hang on, it was Luis Suarez, wasn't it? It lifted it over him, didn't he? So he was on goal.
Yeah.
Red card.
Yeah. Yep. But he had to make a challenge.
Yeah.
I think it was an honest challenge, but it was he got jumped in it by a poor pass from Unai Simon that left his teammate in trouble. So if there's any fines to be paid, Simon should be contributing to the salary cap from Inigo Martinez.
Yes. Right, let's go to the top of the league, shall we? So Real Madrid, Terry, because they've got a midweek game against Athletic, haven't they, on Wednesday night?
Yes.
Which, I've lost track. Was that cancelled before or is that brought forward from the future?
I don't know. I assumed it was cancelled before.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was a game cancelled. They missed a game, didn't they, after the international break? I've lost track if it was that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I think it was that one.
Yeah. So if they win that, it'll be 7 points clear. Now, okay, they will. At the moment, they've played the same games, same number of games as Atleti. But this run of form has been impressive, hasn't it? They were pushed all the way by Sevilla. Very wise man in commentary did say a few minutes beforehand they were dropping too deep, Sevilla, inviting too much trouble their way. And then young Vinny Jr. gave them plenty of trouble, didn't he, with a sensational goal?
He did. I thought it was Sevilla, just briefly touch upon them. I thought they showed their credentials as being genuine title candidates this season. All right, the result hasn't gone their way. And they've dropped off the pace a bit. They've got some ground to make up on Real Madrid, but it's still a long way to go in the season. I think for a large period of the game, they were the better team. It was interesting to see the two approaches. Real Madrid are not for the first time. We've been saying it for quite a while, or over the last decade or so. When they play at top speed in attacking play, they're really hard to stop. With the quality they have and how quick they want to pass the ball forward and run forward with the ball, whereas Sevilla were willing to be patient and play out the back under pressure from Real Madrid, who tried to close them down, but Sevilla did that really, really well. So they were getting out of the back under pressure, and then all of a sudden the space was opening up in midfield and they were able to pick the Real Madrid midfield apart. But the midfield for Sevilla were fantastic. Rakitic in particular, he was the more attacking one. Jordan and Fernando were sitting deep. The fullbacks were excellent. Two centre-backs were good. Bono makes a mistake, crucial mistake, to concede the equaliser. Rafa Mir gave them a focal point up front. Campos was all right, but I thought Papu Gomez was off the pace. And when I saw Sevilla dropping deep, I thought Munir was the obvious choice to come on as a sub, because I looked on the bench and he was the only one that you could really think, well, he's got the pace to trouble them if they're looking to sit deep on the break. You know, maybe they can play the ball into space and let him run after it. But Lopetegui went and did what he does. He replaced the same players with the same players. In fact, he brought Oliver Torres and Oscar Rodriguez on, practically the same player anyway. So he didn't change the dynamic of the team, and they dropped deeper and deeper. Delaney went on initially as a more attacking midfielder, but he's not. Then he eventually dropped deeper into midfield as well to allow Oscar Rodriguez and Oliver Torres to come on and be the more attacking midfielders, but that didn't work. And they were asking for trouble. And if you play that way against Real Madrid, as I say, I think Sevilla were the better team over the whole game, to be honest, apart from the last 10 minutes. And then, you know, if you sit deep, Vinicius will... It was interesting, the two players that had a chance of making a challenge had both been booked. Mm-hmm. Ocampos, possibly if he hadn't been booked, might just drag him down. But he didn't want to take the second yellow card. Montiel didn't get close enough. He'd been booked. He didn't want to get close enough either. And they probably thought from that angle that it was going to take a hell of a shot to beat Bono in towards the far post. And it was a hell of a shot. Great chest control from Vinicius. Gets out of his feet. Once he's passed Ocampos, they were slow to close him down, but he strikes him with the laces with such power. Bono gets a touch to it, but it still flies in the top corner. So it was one of his better games, but such is his quality now, he's liable to do that in a split second. So he's really turning into a fantastic player.
Where do you rate him, Terry? We've just been discussing the Ballon d'Or, haven't we? And there weren't many La Liga players in that top 25. You would hope he would be in next year. So much for, obviously, that depends on how well you do in the Champions League and international football. So, in a sense, put that to the one side. Where should he be rated now? High up? How high up there is he as an individual player?
I think we have to give it this season, but yeah. I think the promise that we're seeing, if he can do it for a whole campaign, that would be he will be right up the very top. Mm. And if he does become a regular in the Brazil team as well, that will elevate his status. The way he's playing, he should be. I'm pleased to see it, I have to be honest, because I thought he took unfair criticism when he was 18, 19, 20 years old. I'm reluctant to criticise young players too much. I don't think I did. The obvious mistake, the obvious weakness was his final ball and his finishing, but you get that with 18, 19, 20-year-olds. But all of that has improved, and he is... sensational player. Where'd you place him? He's in the 100 million plus bracket now. If someone was keen on trying to tempt Real Madrid to sell, so I think there aren't many players around at the moment that would command that fee. But I think his age, his quality, I think he's in that bracket now. He's a brilliant player.
Bono ruined his reputation as a goal-scoring goalkeeper, didn't he, with a rubbish effort at the end. So I've always got a problem with goalkeepers going up, because actually they're in the way. He's in the way. That ball would have run to a teammate if he hadn't been there, sort of tripping over his own feet and failing to kick the ball at the goal.
That's exactly what he did. At least he had the anticipation to try and guess where it might be going.
Yeah.
But he just went straight at him, and he couldn't see his feet out. And he went through his legs in the end, but he was the one closest. But no, it was tough on Sevilla, but that's when you play
top of the league, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. Football can be harsh. So they probably deserve something out of the game. But Real Madrid, it's kind of interesting how teams perceive Real Madrid. They have this reputation, don't they, the last 10 minutes of the game, they come on strong, whatever the circumstances. And Sevilla really did play into their hands. They got deeper and deeper. And I thought it was inevitable that Real Madrid would score a goal. I thought it was inevitable, though, that Villarreal were going to score against Barcelona in the last 10 minutes of their game as well, but that had a different outcome.
Well, let's crack on to that then, shall we? So, Barca won. There were plenty of goals in the end, so we got entertainment in the end. Coutinho scored. I should have given that a mention, Terry, obviously. That should have been the top of the headlines, isn't it? Coutinho goal. Depay got the second with that good old punt down the middle, really, wasn't it? And a stupid young made a mess of his header after Frankie de Jong. I thought he was onside. The goal was given. I always thought he was on. I thought it was onside. Anyway, it wasn't important because of VAR. And Chukwueze got the Villarreal goal. So how well did Barca play?
They started off really well. And then I was surprised there was a change in tactics from Xavi, which led to the rest of the game being absolute carnage, chaos. So chaotic defending. But Xavi came up with something else, which is, I think it's been a little bit of a concern in Spain, actually, that they're worrying and wondering whether he's going to be doing a Pep every now and then where they overthink it and see things that nobody else sees. Sometimes that can be a real strength if you're a coach and see something. You hope that the best coaches do see things we don't see. But in this case, there was, you know, Barcelona were playing really well. Abde was looking really lively, playing as an out-and-out winger. And then suddenly Xavi decided for Eric Garcia, he thought Moy Gomez was causing them problems, which I didn't think he was. He thought Pedraza was causing problems, which I didn't think he was. So he changed to a man-to-man marking system with Eric Garcia, who's playing out of position, the right back. He's another young player I don't want to criticise too much either. I think because he came from City to Barcelona, he's playing for Spain. We've forgotten he's only 20 years old. I have to be honest, I think he's above his pay grade at the moment in terms of playing for Spain and playing quite regular for Barcelona. But he has attributes that, if worked on, he can be a good defender. But he plays centre-half. In this game, he was chosen to play right-back. And he suddenly went, it was hard co-commentating and looking at a player and you think, well, where's he playing now? He was literally, for long periods, he was playing alongside Sergio Busquets in central midfield. And Moy Gomez, being an intelligent player, good player, an intelligent player as well, it's one of his best things, actually. He just took him for a runaround and left the right-back position open for Pedraza to run on. Then it became a problem for Abde, who was then asked to, you know, he's probably been brought up at Barcelona, 19-year-old. He's never had to man-mark anyone. Most people probably man-mark him when they're playing against the younger Barcelona teams. And suddenly he was having to deal with a left-winger converted to a left-back who's been asked and seen the space just to raid up and down that left flank because the space was ridiculous. It caused problems for Araujo because he had to come across and cover. He had to do two or three last-ditch challenges. The Barcelona players were asking everybody, each other, where are you playing? What's happening here? There was good footage of it when I was in Spain of the Barcelona players quizzing each other and pointing to the bench and saying, you know, he's asked me to do this. And they were really confused. And it was a confused performance, but the spirit is good. There's some great footage of when they scored and Piqué went and got them in a huddle and was giving instructions about making sure that I think it was when Memphis scored to go 2-1 up, what they had to do for the rest of the game to see it through. So the attitude is excellent, the spirit is excellent. And the two wins that Xavi has got have given a different... If you look at the league table now, I was, a couple of weeks ago, was saying that they were some distance away from Real Sociedad and I was doubtful they would make it up. In the last week, they've made up with good ground, with Real Sociedad losing at the weekend and drawing the week before. And Barcelona winning two games, because I think it's fair to assume Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, that, in my opinion, is going to be the title race. And Sevilla, I think. And we're going to see Real Sociedad. Can they stay? Can they go the distance? Can they stay in the top four? And we have to mention Real Betis as well. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be too much of a stretch to expect Rayo to be contending for the Champions League. But so Barcelona in the last couple of games have made up some really good ground. So they've still got a game in hand. They're 6 points behind Real Sociedad now with a game in hand. Mm-hmm. So that's doable now. And Xavi looks to be on the march with Barcelona. But it was a confusing game, as many Barcelona games have been this season. But of course, this one was a different manager and different tactics. And it's going to be tough going for him until he gets some of the other injured players back. But Abde was good when he was allowed to play as a winger. Dembele was good when he came on. Excuse me. Although Dembele ended up playing right back as well. He was scared to go across the halfway line. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out with Xavi, of course. But they still have good players and they've made up good ground in the last couple of rounds of games. Throat's gone off the commentaries and the 12 hours a day analysis stuff that they've done for La Liga TV.
They're getting their money's worth out of you. Do you want to press mute and have a good old cough? I've been doing it since we've...
there you go. Sorry. Yes.
hang on, I'm going to do the same. Yes, since the since COVID, it's just the old cough still hasn't fully gone. Even though I commentated Sheffield United versus Bristol City this weekend, Terry, it wasn't quite in the snow, not quite. Actually, to be fair, there was snow in Spain this weekend, wasn't there? At Alaves,
yes,
Celta Vigo.
One game particularly bad.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Atleti. So they got there, didn't they? In the end, we started to worry at some point, but then. Showed they had enough quality in the end to blow Cadiz apart in the last 30-35 minutes of the game, and Cadiz are struggling, aren't they, into the bottom three now.
Yeah, it's interesting that the last two games they've lost 4-0 and 4-1 in the last two matches. Also, I think both 4-0. Sorry, Hatafe was the week before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, 4-1. And 4-1 this one. And Cervera is complaining that they lose their plan when they concede the first goal in both games. Now, I get what he's saying. What he's saying is, you know, if you're an underdog or you're in a difficult game and you have a game plan, 1-0, if you can keep it to that, 10 minutes to go, then you can be more expansive and maybe change the personnel. You don't want to risk it too early. The problem with Cadiz is he's asking them to play that way every week, not just against in the odd game. You know, I've been coach of a team where you know you're going to be in for a tough game, and if you go 1-0 down early on, you don't panic. You try to stay in the game, and then if you've got 10 minutes to go and you're still only one goal behind, you can change the plan. But he's asking his team every week to play the same way, and it's difficult to do that on a weekly basis. So it's tough on them. I fear for him and his future at the club, to be honest. I think there's speculation that his body language isn't particularly great. The players are not responding to what's being asked of them at the moment. So, but at the same time, I look at the squad of players he's got and they're going to be in a relegation battle. That's a given. You know, they haven't gone out and splashed out and spent loads of money and made loads of new signings. So it'd be interesting to see if they do stick with him. In this game, you know, first half, it was even. It was Atletico had more possession, not too many attempts on goal. They didn't trouble a goalkeeper on that many occasions, the Desma. But once that first goal went in, it was a crushing blow for Cadiz. They didn't respond well, and Atletico really turned on the stove then. But they were more attack-minded in the second half. They'll be disappointed. We're talking about goals. The Granada goal being a bit of a debacle. The one that Atletico conceded was as well. So Oblak looks shaky this year, doesn't he? Yeah, Oblak.
Yeah, yeah. He's made a few errors, hasn't he? It was a bit of a fluky one, wasn't it? The cross was deflected. I forget who off, and it spins really high into the air. And he sort of, I suppose, he underestimated the possibility it was going in the goal, I guess, didn't he? And he didn't seem to react quickly enough and just shove it over the bar, I guess, would be the thing. Although he does try and shove it, doesn't he, at the end?
He got there. He got there close enough, but was completely missed the ball.
Yeah.
It was almost like a foot away from his hands.
Yeah.
So that's a little concern. But Atletico, you know, they do what they do. They should do it more often. They have genuine quality. And it does now look as if they're going to be the closest contenders to challenging Real Madrid's already healthy league, could be healthier in the midweek. But as I say, plenty of time to go this season. But Atletico, keep doing it. You know, you keep thinking they're on the right track and then they suffer a disappointing performance, disappointing result. Can they get the consistency?
Yeah, so negative against Milan, weren't they? When you look at the list, I mean, I know it's Cadiz and it's Milan, they're different prospects, but then you look at the list of scorers, Lamar, Griezmann, Correa, Cunha, they've got the talent, haven't they? They've got plenty of talent in that team. That's the squad that they've built now, isn't it? So then the squad is no longer built for scrapping, manfully battling your way through games now, is it? That's not what they're there for now.
Exactly.
Right. Let's move on to the Espanyol Real Sociedad game. So they lost the game. Yangel Herrera got the goal for Espanyol. I'm just going to read you a message from Daniel. I love hearing Terry on ESPN Plus in the US. Best commentary on a Real Sociedad game all season. Right, and then he goes, that's quite a lot of detail. You don't have to comment on this, but the commentator's been getting more consistent, but still a bit hit or miss. No one as good as either of you. Thank you, Daniel. Things have certainly improved since one of the early season games where in the span of 10 minutes, the first half commentator saw a picture on the screen of Zaldúa, referred to as Elizondo, then called Le Normand Zaldúa, before finally wrapping up, identifying Elizondo's picture as Le Normand. But the depth of La Liga knowledge just isn't there with the staple US ESPN announcers who seem to get priority for the bigger games. So we won't comment on that. I think there is a tremendous depth of knowledge in La Liga TV, by the way. All the guys who do the games on that, they watch you can tell they watch a lot of games. That's what you can definitely tell. But I also agree. I think having you on those commentaries, Terry, is a good thing. It's, yes, more of it, even if they don't feed you properly when you're there.
the difficulty Sunday was getting time to get fed because of the I did two on Sunday.
Yes.
So I did that one in late afternoon and then the Real Madrid Sevilla one in the evening. So that we know the prep that goes into getting the teams. I believe I made a mistake on La Liga TV twice.
Yeah.
In my rush to get the teams as quickly as possible, I got a bum steer off of one of the papers, Mark Arras.
Oh, right.
Mark Arras. Right, okay. You know, you get the lineups, and one had Nacho playing. So in the pre-match build-up, I'm talking about Nacho.
Oh,
and
I
it wasn't the, when I mentioned the second, I said Nacho was playing instead of Alaba. And Phil didn't tell me, he was being very polite. And then I did it again, and he looked at me, and I thought, what have I said? And then when we wrapped up, he said, you know, Nacho's not playing. I went, no. Oh, no. So thanks for telling me, because I was commentating on the game 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's doing the Real Sociedad one in the afternoon. It was a pleasure. It's Espanyol. I like Espanyol. I think they've got great spirit. They're well coached. They come up with some good set pieces, some good, really good young players. They have a goal scorer as well, but they've got a great harmony between the players. Everyone's pulling in the same direction. So different to the Espanyol that got relegated, although so many similar players. It just goes to show what you can do with, you get a bit of confidence, a bit of momentum, and the coach that's given time. So they were excellent. I think they deserve the 3 points, actually, in this game. Real Sociedad missing important players, Mikel Merino, David Silva, a whole list of other players. Yarramendi was back on the bench, which is good for Real Sociedad. But I think they there was always going to come a time where they would suffer with important players being missing, great young players, and so many of them. But you do need your David Silva, Merino, and people like that. You do need them to be playing. Nacho Monreal would be another one that would be a help because they're playing the Europa League, playing the league games. They're trying to stay in the title race. It's going to be tough. Isak was on the bench because he was an injury doubt. So it's tough going. But they played well. They played well enough, but they... It just took its toll, I think, the defeat against Monaco, coming back then and playing a team that works as hard as Espanyol do. Interesting that they've only lost two games and they've both been in the city of Barcelona, which is strange, the first week of the season. So hopefully, I mean, Oyarzabal was just off the pace slightly because he's been out injured and just come back from an injury. So it was a tough game for Real Sociedad. Controversial call with a goal that was disallowed.
Have you looked up the laws yet?
Yeah, but they're vague. it's not definitive. It's still subjective.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Right. So what happened was it's Antonio Mateo Lojos, the referee, isn't it?
Yes.
And his first howler is gets in the bleeding way of the ball. I mean, don't do that. Yeah. So Real Sociedad player A is trying to pass it to Real Sociedad player B. The referee gets in the way and it deflects to Real Sociedad player C, who creates a goal.
Isaac.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it go straight to Isaac who scores? Does it go to another player?
It's going to Oyarzabal.
Yeah.
And it hits the referee.
Yeah, and goes straight to Isaac.
It stops in its tracks.
Yeah.
So Isaac intercepts the dead ball.
Yeah.
Passes it to Oyarzabal. And then Isaac runs in behind the defender.
Yeah.
And Oyarzabal flicks it over the defender for Isaac to run on the score.
Yeah.
The issue I've got is that Matula has indicated play on.
Yeah.
With his hands. And he didn't blow his whistle.
Yeah.
It was almost, in my opinion, he's saying, play on, but you can't score.
He's right. Unfortunately, he's right, I think. I think the law, because I did look it up when I heard you discussing it. Because I didn't know that. I thought, because the law it used to be nothing. You used to play on, didn't you? So now, usually they don't get in the way of the ball there. I think every other time I've seen it, it's been if team A are passing and it ends up with team A, you play on. If team A have it and it goes off the referee and goes to team B, you blow your whistle, you give it back to the original team.
I think we all accept that, don't we?
That makes more sense than it used to be. Yes. Yeah. However, there is a rider on it, which I didn't realise. If it leads to a goal, you go back and drop the ball. So in a way, he's right in that you play on, but because they scored within 2 seconds, 2 or 3 seconds, they'd scored.
Yeah,
he's right. You have to go back and drop the ball because his view is, and it's sort of subjective, that he helped contribute to the goal, which he sort of did.
Yeah.
Because if he'd been a midfielder and he diverted it into the penalty area, you'd have said, oh, well done, mate. because he's the referee, he's taking out the bleeding way. Yeah.
Oyarzabal's complaint was the ball was going to him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it stopped, Isaac then helped it onto its original journey to Oyarzabal.
Yeah.
So Oyarzabal was saying that it was coming to me anyway.
So Oyarzabal is he's sort of wrong though, Oyarzabal, because I think he's missed the element of the law that says if it contributes to a goal, which is still a subjective decision as to whether it's contributed to the goal. I get you. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah,
that's the subjective bit. Yeah,
But I think it did. Yeah, yeah.
So that was the controversial moment. But Yango Herrera with his goal deflected off Diego Rico, but he took it well. Raúl de Tomás works his socks off up front, despite being the goal scorer. He leads by example, and I was impressed with Javi Puado, who's played really well. So they've got a good team, Espanyol, and they're going to be, as they showed the week before against Barcelona, tough opponents. It's never going to be an easy game playing against them. And they really put up a good effort against Real Sociedad and I think probably just shaded it.
I've got a question about Unai Emery that Lex Luthor sent us that I forgot to ask you. So we'll come back to that, though, because we'll crack on and do another couple of games first. No ad break today because we're just going to stick it all on Raw, as it were. Right, Real Betis beat Levante. Levante haven't won since 1972, Terry. But they did lead. They were actually in front in this game until Deadly Juanmi, who is in terrific form. He's been around a while, Juanmi. He's 28, I think. And he's been...
He made his debut at 17 for Malaga.
Yeah.
He was 17 when he made his debut, so he has been around for a while. Didn't get many opportunities at Southampton. I don't think he actually started a game.
Yeah.
I think 12 appearances, never started a game. And hasn't always been a regular at Betis. It was an interesting game because first half, Levante 1-0 up, and we're playing well again. I thought they played well against Athletic Club. Levante allegedly are looking at the managerial position again to see whether it's... we did mention that it might be 3 this season. There's time for it to be 4 if they don't liven up. So Javier Pereira is under pressure to keep his job. I think he's had 6 games, hasn't won any of them. He's 23. They're creeping towards the worst ever win this run.
What is the worst
in La Liga?
So, do you know it
all? I'm not sure. 20 something.
They're not okay.
Far off it. So as you said, this grim fascination we've got now is a team heading towards a record. So I'll look up that and check out to see which team it was. Mustafi got a terrific goal. Great header from a corner. Really good header. And they were playing well enough again. But then the first goal killed them. Once they concede the first goal, they become despondent. And it's 23 games. It's 10th of April was their last win. So it is with 7 months. I don't know how the mindset of the players now, they were played in the majority of the games because familiar group of players from last season. It must seem like it's an impossibility to win a game of football now. I thought they deserved to win the week before. They didn't get it against Athletic Club. I thought they, you know, once they got ahead in this game, they were playing well. Morales hits the bar as well, which could have put them 2 up. And then once they concede a goal, it's just they just lack belief. And it's obvious, you know, obvious to assume why they lack belief, because they've gone 7 months without a win bonus. So it's tough going for them. They need a little bit of luck. But Wami was in terrific form. Good partnership with William Jose and Fekir. They're linking up really well. As I say, it hasn't been a regular issue, and he's the highest scoring Spanish player now in La Liga this season. That's a fine achievement. I'll tell you what I saw as well, from which impressed me. What a popular teammate he was. Because on the third goal, which went to VAR, didn't it, to see whether it was Fekir was offside, you saw the teammates on the bench looking at an iPad, checking they were seeing what we were seeing on television, and they were giving him the thumbs up that it was going to be allowed. I wasn't convinced it was close. And the way that the whole squad celebrated with him, his first hat trick in La Liga, and I saw a really good spirit from Betis at the weekend. And Pellegrini's done a really good job, because he's really rotating. They've got a big squad, he's really rotating. They've qualified now for the knockout stage of the Europa League, and they're in a smashing position in La Liga. And, you know, as one of the genuine big clubs in Spanish football, it's pleasing to see nearly 50,000 there at the weekend. And the club's astonishing seeing the difference in weather. When you see the weekend, short sleeve shirts, no gloves in sight, and then you see Alaves in the north and it's snowing. And at one stage, it looked the game like it might have been in danger. So Betis, it's terrific to see. Really, really good, pleasing to see a big club springing back into life, playing in European football, doing well in that, and why not challenge for a Champions League spot?
Let's do that Alaves game, shall we? We've referred to the weather a couple of times. So they were beaten 2-1 by Celta Vigo. We always say goalkeeper's got nothing to lose when he doesn't save a penalty, but Pacheco should have saved that penalty.
Pacheco.
Yeah.
Could have kicked it away.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Could have dropped his hat on it.
It was a terrible penalty. Aspas, his excuse was 2 excuses, actually. One, he didn't want to slip because of the conditions. Kind of understandable. And 2, his wife was about to give birth in the hospital.
So he
said, my mind was all over the place. So he was sharp to get to the rebound. But it was a dreadful penalty. It did look like a player who was worried about losing his footing. Because by that time, though, the snow had gone down a bit, hadn't it? It wasn't as bad. There was a period after about 20 minutes for about to the hour mark where it was really coming down heavy. And tough result that on Alaves, I have to be honest. I thought a draw would have been a fairer result in that game. But Aspas nicked it with the rebound from the penalty.
Valencia 1, Rayo Vallecano 1. Rayo keep going, don't they? They keep getting decent results, don't they?
Fantastic. Yeah. They're fantastic. And some of these names now, we did a feature on the player that scored the equalising goal. Valencia are a hard watch. a really tough watch. I thought Bordeaux might be a bit more expansive than what he has been, with allegedly better players. Not playing an out-and-out striker, playing Guedes up front pretty much on his own is surprising when you've got Maxi Gomez and Marcos Andre sitting on the bench and not starting games. So I would like to see him get back to playing with one of Maxi Gomez or Marcos Andre up front, let Guedes go back into a wider position, Soler's drifting around. For an hour or more, I was looking at the position of the four attacking players. I had no idea who was playing where, which is all well and good if those players are playing well, and it's all well and good if the team are playing well. We then say, oh, they're really fluent up front. They're really hard. It's hard to know who to pick up. But when they're not playing well, and no one's playing particularly well, no individuals are playing well, you're looking at it and thinking, well, where's Hugo Duro playing there? Where's Soler playing? Where's, you know, Guedes? Where's he playing? Helder Costa's playing. 1 minute he's up front, when he's on the left wing, when he's on the right wing. There doesn't seem to be any cohesion between the attacking play of Valencia. But I look at the players, Santi Comesaña is a good player, and Issy Palazón, who scored the goal. We talk about Falcao pretty much when we talk about Rowe. He's not playing at the moment. He's got some injury issues, but he wasn't even on the bench at the weekend. Sergio Guardiola is a good player. Alvaro Garcia, who scored a fantastic goal in the week before in the win they got there. They've got some really good players that we're going to have to get to know more about. Issy Palazón wasn't a pro until 2 years ago.
Mm.
He's the bald-headed player that scored the equaliser. 26 years old, was playing at Ponferradina, has ended up getting promotion with Rayo after his transfer there. And he's a terrific, terrific player. They really do play some good football and sensible football, as opposed to the Rayo that under Paco Lopez a few years back, they tried to play good football, but there was a lack of common sense. Iriola's team have got a purpose about them. They've got a plan, work hard. Very similar to Espanyol, to be honest. They're punching above their weight. They need to do better away from home. That's 19 points at home, 4 away, until the point against Valencia. So it's they're having a fantastic season. They're not far off of safety now.
At some point, we'll have we should have a review of Paco Gémez and his influence. I think basically he won. I know we laugh, we say, oh, they were giving the ball away, playing around. I've seen teams everywhere playing like that now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Real Madrid had an interesting goal kick, which they kept using, where it was almost like I was surprised how Sevilla defended against it. It was a short goal kick to Courtois. And it was the two centre-backs were next to him.
Mm.
And it was like, you know when you tee someone up to hit from a free kick?
Yeah, yeah.
From 25 yards?
Yeah, yeah.
They were doing that to Courtois. And Sevilla were dropping so deep, which left the whole of the centre of the pitch vacant, really. And he was just clipping it into Benzema and hoping that in that space, Real Madrid were able to pick up the loose ball. And it was 50-50. I wouldn't say it was a massive success. I thought Sevilla defended it too deep. But it was interesting how Real Madrid kept persisting with this short goal kick routine, which eventually was quickly kicked upfield by Courtois.
Osasuna, Eibar tonight, 1-1 draw. Eibar's new boss, of course, in charge. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
We'll edit it out, Terry, don't worry. So, Osasuna, Elche.
I got Nacho wrong.
Because Eibar got relegated, you see. Osasuna, Elche, with their new boss in charge, Francisco, who's been around before. When was he in which club was he? Was it Almeria?
Girona and Huesca.
Right, okay, right, yeah.
Spell at Huesca. He took over from Leo Franco at Huesca.
Yeah,
and kind of they did all right with them, to be fair. And they were unlucky to go down that one. And Pacheta, came in and was unlucky to go down in the second La Liga campaign.
Right, okay.
I think Francisco was offered the job, but got the move to Girona and preferred to go to Girona and missed out twice in the playoffs when he was coach of Girona in the second. So there was something about him, I must admit. and I can see the attraction. He wasn't able to take charge tonight, so he's going to take charge Copa del Rey week as well. He's going to have his first game as manager in the Copa del Rey. Not sure who they've got. I did have a quick look at the draw. I spent an hour looking at about four different teams to see what league they're in. It's that draw, that round where there's, you know, if there's a knockout, if there's a shock, it's going to be a massive shock.
Yeah, well, there were last. I've lost track of what year. I literally don't know. When did we have the game where the team that was playing in the Leisure Centre and it was dark?
Yeah, that was Barcelona. Went to extra time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And also we had El Clayano.
Yeah.
Beat Real Madrid.
Yeah.
That was the one, I think.
Was it?
That was
yeah.
the one. Sandy, yeah. sandy pitch.
Yeah.
And the 49-year-old goalkeeper or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Because they were the same.
That was a long ago.
Time, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Is it last year or the year before? Our patrons will let us know.
The Barcelona game was on an AstroTurf pitch with all the different five-a-side pitches marked on it as well.
Yeah. That's the one,
that
isn't
was
it?
The Leisure Centre one. Yeah.
It's like you, like the next set of lads were standing outside waiting to get on. They're looking at their watches,
yeah.
having a little warm up.
I went to extra time, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm asking you questions I don't know if you know the answer to. Is all this on Premier Sports or is it all?
I don't know.
Yeah,
sure.
So I don't know.
I haven't checked yet.
Yeah. So again, share that with us either on Twitter at Driscoll FC at Terry Gibson 88 and Patreons as well via the normal channels if you happen to know. I mean,
thankfully they're only one legs as well, aren't they now?
Yeah.
Because there was a long period there'd been two legs.
Yeah.
Now it's one leg of games, which hence the reason there are the occasional upset.
Yeah. I think we haven't done Mallorca nil, Getafe nil. And,
No, we did. We did do that. Yeah, I'm sure we did that.
I've got the question about Unai Emery, from Lex Luthor. Bearing in mind at Villarreal, Unai Emery is not good enough to compete with the bigger clubs. His record against Barca, Real Madrid and the Champions League isn't good enough, let alone drawing half their league games so far. Still annoyed at seeing Alcácer and Mario Gaspar on the bench while the erratic Foyt and the problematic Aurier are preferred to him. But then again, is there a manager out there that can take this team to the next level? Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this, Lucas.
I think it's really interesting to see what happens now with Unai Emery.
Yeah,
they're still involved in the Champions League. They still have a good chance to go through. Big game coming up. But any other manager of Villarreal in this position in the league with only three wins so far this season would be under pressure. Won the Europa League last year. They've spent big money. Again, 50 million spent this summer on attacking players in Danjuma and Boulay Dia. So the fact that Gerard Moreno's injured, you've still got Jeremy Pino, got Chukwueze. And I'm astonished that when they need goals, Boulay Dia hasn't got going yet. When they need goals, Paco Alcácer doesn't even get on.
Mm.
I'm stunned by that, to be honest. I think they're desperately searching for goals, and he obviously doesn't have much faith in Paco Alcácer. So that's a big surprise. I've said about the makeup of the squad's weird in the fact they've got seven fullbacks, only three centre backs.
Yeah.
And I don't see anyone else at Villarreal that could possibly play centre back. Capu, a stretch. But you've got an ageing midfield. You've got likes of Capu, Parejo, Ibora, Coquelin. It's a weird squad, but they've certainly invested money in it, but they've accumulated seven fullbacks is far too much.
Hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. I hope Villarreal turn the corner, start getting wins. They were unlucky at the weekend. I joked at the beginning of the podcast when I said I predicted there was only going to be one winner. I wasn't coming up with anything outrageous there because they were on top. Barcelona was struggling. And you joked about the Stegen hoofing the ball downfield, Estupin and another big money signing, another fullback, made a real mess of the header, and Memphis Depay was finished it off really well. I have to say, good goal because he missed a couple of sitters. He's not been firing on all cylinders in front of goal, so that was a a tidy finish from him. I think Rudy is, and Asenjo is another one that we could debate on who's the better goalkeeper. There's a mistake there in every game from Rudy. Makes spectacular saves, but does make a mistake in pretty much every game. So, important period coming up for BRL, but also, I think, for Unai Emery.
Right, give us a Patreon, everyone. Patreon.com/LTEL, and you will be supporting the podcast, and you'll get extra stuff, such as the stuff that we'll be doing extra soon. If we find a way of watching the Copa del Rey, then we'll be talking about that. And we will be back with a regular La Liga podcast again soon for everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. We'll see you soon.